one, bang!
Megan, you shot me.
Oh, Maria, I'm so sorry. I was just trying to shoot a starting gun.
You shot me in the leg.
Maria.
In the kneecap.
Maria, why are you not passed out?
I'm resilient.
Wow, I'm one.
I'm very losing impressed. A lot of blood.
Two, I'm so sorry.
No, you could have said sorry first before you said impressed.
Well, I mean, no, I'm impressed by you. You want me to be sorry before I'm impressed by you?
You shot me in the kneecap.
Okay, I'm sorry, and then I'm impressed, okay?
Thank you. Proper order.
I was trying to start the podcast with one of those, car starting guns.
The problem was you didn't aim it at the sky and instead aimed it at my knee.
You're right. I feel like maybe there's some subconscious stuff going on.
You hate my knees subconsciously?
I mean, that seems like the only answer.
I do have killer knees. My last dying wish, though, Megan, is that we do this podcast.
Oh, okay. Then we should hurry up because you haven't got long.
That's true. Hey, everybody. My name's Maria. I'm one of the hosts of Magic the Amateuring, soon to be dead.
Hey, my name's Megan, and I am the other host, soon to be incarcerated.
That's
right. I assume for
murder.
That's
right. Is it really murder? It's manslaughter, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Unless you had a motive.
I don't know. I'm going to need a good lawyer.
Okay, sure.
So if you're a good lawyer, I bet you, Maria, that there's no good lawyers who listen to this podcast. If you're a
That's
good
right.
lawyer,
we have not
tweet
one
us.
Good lawyer listens oh to our show. Please tweet at MTAcast if you are a good lawyer.
If you are a good lawyer.
We've got an exciting show for you today. We're going to talk about new rules and mechanics in Dragons of Tarkir featuring our good friend Judge Rob. So we're going to get into the new stuff just before pre-release weekend, so you'll be all up to speed before you go out there in the real world and slam some drags.
That's right. You'll be all on speed before you go to the pre-release.
Did I say on speed?
No, I said on speed.
Oh, okay.
Well, that brings us, you guys, to our talking about mechanics.
Sorry. We have other stuff to preview.
Oh, preview away then.
All right. We're also doing cutest card, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
The most awaited segment of any show. Like it actually is. I feel if I say it, it's true.
I feel like, I mean, it is the source of contention. People do get excited about it.
All right.
So you're not completely off base.
Okay, cutest card, and Megan's going to name the grossest card of the set. We're also going to talk about what we're going to miss from Cons of Tarkir, maybe what we're looking forward to in Dragons of Tarkir. And I've got a whole list of euphemisms inspired by Dragons of Tarkir. You definitely won't want to miss that. Just make sure your kids leave the room. What the fuck? They shouldn't be listening to this part anyway.
By this part, you mean this entire podcast?
Yes.
This part that we call the show. Now this brings us to talking about some of the new mechanics and cards that we're going to be seeing in Dragons of Tarkir. And to help walk us through some of these potentially tricky situations is none other than Judge Rob.
Hi.
Yay, Judge Rob.
What's up, Homeslice?
Nothing much. I was just in Cleveland this last weekend, the last Grand Prix of the Cons of Tarkir Fate Reforged Limited Season.
Yes,
Cleveland, City of Angels.
I believe it's called City of Drew.
Oh.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
The Drew Carey Show was set in Cleveland.
Oh.
The theme song was Cleveland Rocks.
I had no idea, you guys.
Have you seen the Drew Carey Show?
No.
This is where we find out on this show so many things Megan has never done. She didn't know what Rickrolling was. She never had a pizza roll. Now she's going to see that show. Drew Carey Show.
It's actually a pretty good show.
Is it?
I feel like our standard for like things that I should have experienced is slowly dipping. Started out with Rickrolling and now we're on the Drew Carey Show.
You don't know. You haven't seen it. Maybe it's amazing.
You're right. Is it?
I do not remember, honestly.
Oh, okay.
It varies. Drew works in an office job and like it's a sitcom.
There's a laugh track, you know, probably a bunch of fat jokes.
A few fat jokes. He gets to dance a lot. Drew Carey moves really smoothly, actually.
Oh. And that is the best card evaluation you will ever hear on this show. Drew Carey moves smoothly.
That Drew Carey as a planeswalker would be too good. Anyway, Dragons of Tarkir. Judge Rob, what do you want to talk about first with this brand spanking new set?
So Dragons of Tarkir is, well... dragons. Yeah. Dragons all day long. Basically, every booster pack you open is going to have the word dragon in like four places.
Nice.
And there are no common dragons. Instead, there
I know, yeah. Rob. I'm sad about that.
It's really funny that this is supposed to be the highest Asfan dragon set of all time, and yet they couldn't sneak a common dragon in, but they did for Fate Reforged.
Yeah.
So, shame on them.
No, yeah. I'm actually disappointed because, like, I want to play with a deck that has, like, a million... Maybe it was too strong.
Yeah. They supposedly had the Ugin's Guardian or whatever, the colorless non-artifact dragon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Supposedly that was common and got bumped up to uncommon because, like...
Too good?
Well, I mean, it's a 4/4 flyer for six. I mean, every deck just would play that.
Yeah, that's true.
Didn't we? We had one of those at one point in Theros block, didn't we?
It, also at uncommon, though. Like, they printed 4/4 right. artifact flyers for six.
My bad.
This is the second one.
You had to have some kind of activation for that one, though?
No, there's just a dude. There's like a... It was like a robot drake or something of some variety.
I'm thinking of the one that had Defender, I believe.
Yeah, they're... Wakestone Gargoyle?
Yeah, something like that. Some kind of gargoyle.
That was an M15.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, lots of dragons is what we're saying.
Yes.
Woo!
So, and like any set, this comes with new mechanics. And really unusually, this set has a lot of reprint mechanics. For a large set, they just packed in a bunch of reprint mechanics of different varieties. Some from Fate Reforged that were the... You know, reflected up towards the future, and Rebound is back.
Rebound? Where did we first see Rebound?
Rebound was originally in Rise of the Eldrazi.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder if this is because we're going back to Zendikar next
No, I think it's just because it plays really, really well with Prowess.
Oh, okay, like, that too.
Yeah, that's true. It really does.
And so the set just doesn't have a lot of stuff that is super new, but it does have a lot of stuff that's super shiny. It has a lot of interesting cards.
I agree. I was excited by a lot of what I saw in the spoilers.
Yeah, be cool.
I mean, big powerful dragons, hello. We're excited about that. Let's get real.
Yeah, yes. Man.
Dragons. So I want to run through these mechanics really quick.
Sure.
We have Bolster coming back, exactly the same as it was in Fate Reforged. We have... let's just go around the cycle. So in green-white, you have Bolster.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
In red-green, you have the new mechanic, Formidable.
Atarka.
Yes, Atarka's brood.
She's so...
They say.
She hangry.
Yes, she's very angry.
No, hangry, Rob.
Angry?
Hungry, angry.
Got it.
Which I think does very well define Atarka.
Yes, yeah, that's does. Basically her job.
Like, you look at that dragon, how could that dragon ever be full? That's a big dragon.
Yeah, good point.
Yes.
You can and never fill a big stomach. I think Buddha said that.
So if you've been following spoilers from the beginning, the first few cards they spoiled with Formidable, like, were just incredibly underwhelming. They were just like, I kind of get an incremental advantage. Formidable says, if you have at least 8 power total amongst your creatures, do something. And it could be a static ability, it could be a triggered ability, it could be an activated ability that you can only activate if you have 8 or more power combined. And... Formidable, like, some of them actually ended up being really, really subtly cool as you look at them. The headliner is obviously the Khan, which is...
Surak. Caller of something.
Caller of the Hunt. And Surak is...
Definitely not
of bees. Surak the Hunt Caller, sorry. He's a 5/4 for green, green, and 2.
Don't say that fast, everybody.
Wait, what?
Surak the Hunt Caller?
I have a feeling that there's going to be a not very family friendly name for him then. Yes. So Surak has just one ability, Formidable. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if creatures you control have total power 8 or greater, target creature you control gains haste until end of turn. Which means basically he needs a 3 power buddy in order to hand out his bonus.
That's pretty sweet.
And mm-hmm. He's a 5/4 for green green too, which is good.
Yeah, man.
And play that no matter what.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you hit on curve, if you have a 3 power guy for 3 mana, he comes down on 4 and then gives himself haste.
Oh, snap.
Which is pretty
strong. Awesome.
Ouch.
I have a question.
Yes.
Unless you want to continue, and then I'll ask my question later.
Go ahead and ask. Questions are great.
So with Formidable, say I have 8 power and I cast are there any spells that have Formidable on them, or is it only creatures?
There's a couple spells with Formidable.
Let me
dig one up really quick.
So I cast a spell that requests Formidable.
Excuse me, can I have Formidable?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to need 8 power or greater on your
creatures. I'd like to buy a Formidable.
So it wants 8 power, and then your opponent responds and destroys one of your creatures. Is your spell not going to resolve then?
So any spell with Formidable has an effect and then a bonus effect if you happen to have Formidable, basically.
Oh, okay.
And so if you look at something with an activated ability that has Formidable, they say activate it only if you have 8 or greater power.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You'd go to activate it.
And you've already activated it.
So it's going to happen.
You paid the cost, you put it on the stack. Yeah. So let's look at
no passing of priority at that point. You activate it. And they can't just be like, in response to activating.
Right.
Well, in response to activating means it's on the stack. It means it's out there and they get to respond to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Dragon Whisper is he's a 2/2 human shaman for red-red. He's got some other abilities, but he is Formidable. Red-red 4. Put a 4/4 red dragon creature token with flying onto the battlefield. Activate this ability only if creatures you control have total power 8 or greater.
So you couldn't do it.
Yeah. You could totally if you have 8 or greater power, you can activate it. And they can respond to it, but you've already activated it and you're going to get the dragon.
It's already on the stack.
Yep.
Got it.
So, I
was just wondering if there was an overrun or something. I can't remember if there's a spell. And then it requests Formidable. And then you don't have it anymore. Does it still resolve? But maybe I'm talking about something that does not exist.
Well, they've done this in the past where if you have... They did this a lot with Ferocious, where they would have a spell that has an effect, and then if your Ferocious gets better in some way, and it would behave exactly the same, where it doesn't say... there's no cards that are going to say cast the spell only if Formidable. They're just going to reward you, and those will all check at the time that they resolve to determine whether or not you have Formidable. I'm actually digging through the spoiler right now to see. It looks like they didn't do any ones this time. It looks like they're all on creatures, which actually makes Formidable much, much better because the creatures are going to come towards a Formidable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they, and that's why a lot of them look really kind of questionable, because when you look at them, you're like, that's going to take a lot to activate. And then you look at that creature and you're like, well, that creature is like Sorak is a 5 power creature. He does not take much in the way of friends in order to become Formidable.
Mm-hmm. I'm very interested to see how good Formidable actually is, because it does, in a way, make me feel like, if I have already got 8 or more power creatures, why am I worried?
Well, it's similar to let's look back at Rise of the Eldrazi. This really feels like Rise of the Eldrazi 2 to me. There's a lot of Rise of the Eldrazi reminiscent things in this set. Formidable is basically the Invokers, which were a cycle of creatures in Rise that had activated abilities that cost 9 mana. And so they were there were 2/2s for 3, and their only ability was blue wind 8, all of your creatures gain flying until end of turn, which is a blowout, right?
Yeah.
And
so God.
And so you'd get to that much mana, and then you'd just kill them for it. The white one tapped all their creatures, the red one dealt 7 damage, but they cost a humongous amount of mana because they want to set up an environment where 7 cost spells get cast a lot. And so they need to make these little mediocre guys that then reward you for having a bunch of mana so that you'll play more lands, so that you will actually make land drops to get up to 7 or 8.
Hmm. Huh. Okay.
Interesting.
And this is something they've done over time, where they've created ways to dump your excess mana while you're playing limited to encourage you to play better mana bases and to not punish you for playing more lands. Theros Bestow was that exact mechanic. Bestow was... you got to 7, bestow the guy. You didn't get to 7, play it as a 2/2.
Yeah, it seems that these past few sets, they've been giving us interesting mana outlets, right? Yep. Morph, Bestow.
Yep.
And I think both of those are really great, to help with Screw,
Yep.
And mm-hmm. It makes the game more fun in the end.
And so, especially with the Formidable guys that are questionable on the front end and that have a Formidable bonus, don't be afraid to just play them as dudes. And then, the Formidable is a reward for, clogging up the board and getting to a late game later.
You don't often get rewarded for clogging things.
No.
Unless you're an Irish dancer.
Don't the Dutch wear clogs?
Whatever.
Them too.
Okay.
They both. You can be a Dutch or an Irish dancer.
Got it. So we're continuing to run around the color wheel. So we did red-green, so yep. We're going to do red-black. Red-blacks.
Kolaghan.
Yeah, Kolaghan. And his mechanic is Dash, which is coming back from Fate Reforged.
Kolaghan is a lady dragon.
Oh, my apologies. Oh, her.
Good point.
So you guys know. I know it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're out on a date with a dragon.
Well, the question is, why do
you look?
I don't know.
Why do these dragons have any gender? They don't have children. The only dragons come from dragon tempests on Tarkir.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's very true.
Which we talked about last time.
We did.
And I mean, really, dragons don't need to have a gender, but Culligan identifies as she.
Got it.
I'm just letting you guys know.
Okay. Do you look under the tail?
You mean
the poop funnel?
Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, the dragons wouldn't have external genitalia anyways, right? Because they would have
cloaca?
Yeah, they'd have cloacas. Right?
Now I'm trying to imagine two dragons mid-flight cloacal kissing like birds do. Don't yell at me. That's what it's called.
I don't need to know this. I don't need to be thinking about this right
Megan,
now.
Megan, science.
I have so much other work I should be doing.
Megan is a shell of a person because she's going through grad school right now, you guys. She's writing so much stuff. It's okay, Megan.
Thank you.
So,
anyways,
Culligan. So Dash.
Yeah.
Dash is the returning mechanic for the Black-Red Dragon Brood. And it's, again, exactly the same. You pay the Dash cost, you get it with haste, it returns at the end of the turn.
Yeah.
And they've just made more interesting cards with Dash. I don't think they have trumped Vaultbreaker, who is very, very fun. But he was the one from Fate Reforged that whenever he attacks, you got to discard then draw.
Yeah.
And he was like, sometimes you cast him as a 4/2 that got to do it repeatedly. Sometimes you just needed the loot now.
Yeah.
And they're doing a lot of stuff that are interesting like that with Dash in the set. So
yeah,
look
like
out
some
for,
creatures make Dash cheaper. Love that.
And Dash works really, really well with Formidable. Because you can surprise, make a creature for cheaper that has a bunch of power and set up your formidable effects.
That's awesome.
Word.
And so you'll get to play your red and green formidable cards with red dash cards pretty consistently.
Sweet.
So coming around, there's black blue, Silumgar's Brood.
Silumgar!
Silumgar's mechanic is exploit, which is a great word. You get to exploit a creature.
I think it sounds like sex slavery, but sure.
Well, I mean,
Maria, anyone can be exploited.
Megan yes. and I had this fight on another episode.
So exploit is a keyword that says when this enters the battlefield, you may sacrifice a creature, and that includes the creature with exploit. And then they also have a when this exploits a creature, do something. And so you can choose whether or not to exploit. Sometimes you just need a guy, and it's your only creature. And sometimes you just get to eat some other dude with exploit. And it's possible to get blown out when you're exploiting because so if I cast a creature with exploit, goes onto the battlefield, trigger goes in the stack. If you destroy my creature with exploit, I can still choose to sacrifice a creature to exploit something, but then my guy isn't around to trigger the when it exploits something effect.
Really?
Wait.
I get it.
What?
So.
Oh,
so
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I cast Silumgar. I have out Silumgar and a Runeclaw Bears. I put the exploit. Do I want to sacrifice something trigger on the stack?
Uh-huh.
And then
you don't have to choose what it is at that point.
Yeah, I choose at the time it resolves. Okay. So it's real. It's in one way. It's hard to blow out exploit. If you destroy my Runeclaw Bears, I can still choose to exploit Silumgar,
uh-huh.
or not Sil
Sidisi,
and then I would still get my exploit trigger when this exploits something. But if you destroy my Sidisi with that trigger on the stack, I can still choose to sacrifice my Runeclaw Bears. But CDC isn't around anymore in order to trigger the when you exploit something trigger.
Oh, so the first trigger is just like, do you want to?
Yes.
And then if you're like, yes, CDC's not around to be like, oh, hey, now that you did that, let me give you the fun bonus.
Yeah. And so it's very possible to get Hero's Downfall or whatever with the exploit trigger on the stack. And then you probably don't want to sacrifice a creature, even though you can choose to.
Nice.
Oops.
So you could also potentially get an opponent.
Yes, you
to
can
sack their creatures.
You can very much get an opponent to do this. So this is something to be aware of. That
oh man,
that, you could then give them
it's
the
terrifying.
Option.
Terrifying.
Do you still wish to sacrifice a creature? So this is the best way to actually stop exploit when your opponents are doing it as well. Is you get this opportunity
nice.
In there.
Well, that is very good to know.
And exploit works very well with Dash. I really like Dash, but they've designed all the mechanics to talk to the ones next to each other when you go around the wheel. And so you can dash a creature and then exploit it after combat.
Nice.
So you got some value. I mean, it's still not going back to your hand.
Right, but you got the attack, and oftentimes you want to sacrifice a dude to exploit. You don't care who it is. And a dashed creature that's like the Surfboard Goblin or whatever Like, you don't care about that
Scout.
Guy. Yeah, Mardu Scout. You're like, eh, this guy's not any good anymore.
Hey, dudes. Let's go fight some other dudes.
Let's hang five, because I only have five toes total.
Yes.
Hang five. Wait, he has like 2.5 toes on each foot?
Yes.
Okay. If he needs a goblin. And so running around the wheel, next we come up to Blue White, which has a spell mechanic, Rebound.
Ojutai.
Ojutai's Brood, yes. And Rebound, as I said earlier, works very, very well with the mechanic Prowess from Concept Arc here, because you get to set up Prowess triggers repeatedly. And there's actually a lot of creatures with like sneaky, looks like Prowess, but isn't Prowess triggers.
Yeah, there's no more Prowess anymore.
Yep, Prowess is gone. Sad. But Rebound gives you just a pile of spells. And Rebound says, if you cast this from your hand, as it's resolving, exile instead of putting it into the battle or into the graveyard. And then at the beginning of your next step, keep cast it again from exile.
For free.
For free. Which means basically you get the same spell twice.
So this, when it's being rebounded, say cast it, it happened. It's coming back, rebound.
Have you ever been rebounded?
I'm sure I have been a rebound. I've also rebounded, I'm sure, as well.
All right. Move on.
And it's coming back in for a rebound. I can cancel it. I can cast cancel and it'll go away forever.
Yes.
All right.
And in addition to that, if you cancel the first half of the casting, they won't get the rebound either. It has to actually resolve to get rebounded.
But both times, if you had, say you did have a, there are some prowess cards in Fate Reforged.
Yep.
Like a Jeskai Sage. Say you have that card with the prowess and you cast the exploited card the first time, it gets its prowess trigger. And then when the spell rebounds, it gets its prowess trigger.
Yes, you get prowess triggers on both sides of rebound.
Whether the rebound half gets canceled or not.
Yep, because you still cast the spell. Yep.
Okay.
And so,
important to know.
Just my suggestion to rebound is just read the cards, because you're going to have to think ahead. It's a mechanic that really rewards planning around your next turn. And setting up a really, really quality turn on your next turn. And then, like, you get rewarded for a lot of the uncommons. Like, there's the uncommon dragon, Cunning Breeze Dancer, which is basically double prowess. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, Cunning Breeze Dancer gets +2/+2 until end of turn, which is just going to smash them with a rebound.
Get a big fat dragon.
Yes.
Big fat dragon. Big fat dragon.
So, there, then coming around is Bolster, which has come back.
Yeah, and Dromoka.
Yep, Dromoka's Brood. And Bolster is just, you know, anytime that you bolster, you figure out which is the smallest creature you control, and then you put some counters on it.
And if they're tied, you get to
choose. Decide. Yep.
You get to decide. Question.
Yes.
This is going to be a really weird situation. But say you have two different 2/2s.
Yep.
On your board, and you bolster. You have a card that says bolster 2 or whatever, and you target one of them. And in response, your opponent casts a pump spell on that creature.
Well, bolster doesn't target.
Okay, it doesn't target. So I guess...
It's just like exploit. Yeah. It's a decision you make at the time it resolves.
Okay, so you cast it, and since they're both 2/2s, you do get to pick one.
Yes.
So you pick one, and in your response, your opponent casts something.
Your opponent can't respond in the middle of your stuff resolving.
Oh, okay. So it's already resolving by the time you've picked.
Yep. It's in the process of resolving.
I cast it, and then that's the only time that they have a chance to respond. By the time I've picked, their chance is already
gone and done with. Yep. And so you're guaranteed to get to bolster something. They can't counter bolster unless they kill all your creatures.
There you go. Thank you.
And they don't actually counter it. It just won't do anything useful.
Maria, your aloe vera plant keeps stabbing me.
My aloe plant?
Yeah.
Oh,
I just like leaned back and it like stabbed me in the back.
You can
of the
rotate
head.
The basket so that it.
Yeah, put the short end towards you.
Yeah, but you could probably just move
Megan's
the spiky bits
rotating
away from you.
Plant show.
Yes.
Oh, all we have left is Megamorph, right?
For the mechanics, yep. And Megamorph is just Morph.
Megamorph's everywhere. Everybody's got Megamorph.
Yeah, everybody's got Megamorph. It's all over. Megamorph says all of the pieces are exactly the same as Morph, except as you turn it face up, you put an extra +1/+1 counter on it.
And just like Morph, this action cannot be responded to. It's faster than instant.
Yep. Does the counter... Is putting the counter on it on the stack...
No, it comes. Okay. It turns face up with a counter on it.
It's like, okay, wouldn't cool. that be cool, though, if when you turned it, like a little dice manifested itself on yes. the
It's
top.
Like turned up.
There's a dice.
There. I was just thinking, you know, like creatures like morphs like Pinewalker created a trigger, right? When they turn yep. face up. But Megamorph, the counter does not create a trigger.
Right. The, okay. It's part of the turning it face up.
Word.
And part of that is actually also, so let's say that I manifest a Megamorph creature. I use Ethereal Ambush, and I manifest two cards, and one of them is a Megamorph creature. I get to choose between paying its Megamorph cost to turn it face up and pay its mana cost to turn it face up, right?
Yeah.
If I pay the mana cost, I won't put a counter on it.
Right.
Because it yes. didn't get turned up with Megamorph.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And so be aware of that, is now you have to make an actual, like, more of a decision, because a lot of Megamorph creatures have a lot cheaper of a mana cost than their Megamorph cost.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah, that's interesting. You'll have to make some complicated choices.
Yep.
Decisions.
Which is fun. So there's a lot of cards with individual interesting lines of text because they wanted to make a pile of interesting dragons. And so, like, every multicolored card has, like, 100 words on it. They're just deep in words. The most notable ones are the commands, which this is the second time commands have come around. The commands are modal spells. When you cast this, make a choice, except you get to mm-hmm. choose two different things. And each of the dragon broods has a command associated with it. Dromoka, Ojutai, Sulimgar, Kolagan, and Atarka all have commands that do, you know, when you cast this, choose two of the things.
If anyone is wondering how these different dragon lords identify as to their gender, just ask me. Don't worry, I know. I'm on top of it, you guys. I'm on way on top of dragon gender over here.
I would assume that they're all, like, identify as dragons, though, right? Like, you know how some yeah. people are dragons?
Yeah,
like,
no, they all of these dragons do identify as dragons.
I think one of these dragons is gay and identifies as a bear.
What? I'm so confused now.
I assume that's Atarka, right?
I don't... Wait.
No. Atarka looks like a lady,
right?
I don't know that... Doesn't matter.
I don't know that you
can... They're lady bears.
Also...
Really?
Atarka like,
how do you think you get new bears?
Atarka does identify as a she.
Okay.
I'm saying a gay man... I know. I don't know that gay men get to, like, choose to be bears or otters. I think it's just, like, their body type puts them into one of the categories.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Anyways, but like, yeah, it's like if Ojutai was a game man dragon, he would be an otter.
Yeah, for sure. For definitely sure. not a bear.
For sure. Anyways, yeah. moving on.
Anyways, the commands. For all the commands, you choose both modes at the time that you cast them. And so your opponent's going to know which parts are going to happen. In part because that makes you determine which targets the spell has.
So it's not like, which order do these happen in, though?
They happen in the order that they're listed on the spell.
Okay.
So when you look at Dromoka's command, it says choose two. Prevent all damage target instant or sorcery spell would deal this turn. Target player sacrifices an enchantment. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. Or target creature you control fights target creature you don't control. And this is actually the one where the order is relevant. In most of the other commands, it's just... It doesn't matter what order they happen, but for Dromoka's command, you put the +1/+1 counter on target creature, and target creature you control fights target creature.
Right,
you don't
control. That makes
sense. So you have a counter before you fight. The previous cycle of commands from Lorwyn, the order was relevant on almost all of them. And so, like, they did interesting things. Primal Command was the neatest, because Primal Command both lets you put a non-creature permanent on top of your owner's library, target player shuffles their graveyard in their library, and search your library for a creature and put it on top of your library. So you could, like, put it on top of their library and then shuffle their graveyard in so that their card was gone forever. Or you could shuffle your graveyard in your library and then search your library for a creature, which now includes your graveyard, which is what Primal Command did, and it was super neat.
Nice.
But these don't do that quite as much. The Dromoka's command does it, and I don't think the rest of them actually even really care.
Well, there's this... Well, that's Atarka's command. Your opponents can't gain life this turn. Atarka's command deals 3 damage to each opponent.
Yeah, but if they're in the other order, it still wouldn't make any difference.
Like, yeah, I guess
They would take 3 damage and then they couldn't gain life, or they couldn't gain life and then they take 3 damage.
Okay.
So, like, they...
If it said, like, damage can't be prevented,
yes.
that would be relevant.
Yes, then it would be relevant. If that mode was damage can't be prevented, deals 3 damage, yeah, that would be super relevant. But you choose the modes, and then you choose the targets. So your opponent's going to know all this stuff about these spells before they decide whether or not to counter them or whether to respond.
Word.
And so, but they're super neat because they're very, very flexible and they're very, very powerful. None of the effects are bad. Colgan's command has the most questionable one, I think.
What do you mean questionable?
Return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand and destroy target artifact are both like a little more marginal abilities, yeah. I think. The flip side is it's an instant speed discard spell. So if they have no cards in their hand and draw for their turn, you can, during their draw step, make them discard that card, which is very unusual. So that's
pretty sweet.
A thing you can do with Colgan's command.
Discard that.
Yes. And
put that card down.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they try very hard to make commands powerful because they did last time and people love them.
Well,
and
they're not exactly Dromoka's request.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It's Dromoka's command.
Yeah, she's not making a polite request.
No, they're not asking.
And then finally cycling around to the big boss dragons, the elder dragons for this set. Mm. They're the new versions of the dragons from Fate Reforged. They've all been kicking around for 1,200 years, and they're bigger and they're wiser and they're angrier and they're smarter. And
if you think these dragons are like get off my lawn, they're like
yes.
1,000 years beyond get off my lawn.
Off my lawn.
They have burnt their lawn down in order to make sure that people couldn't be on it.
Yes.
Excuse me, I'm here with the city. Your lawn is on fire.
I know I did that on purpose.
Look, we really need your lawn to not be on fire for the safety of the neighborhood.
I really need you to not be up in my business.
That was me breathing fire.
I got it.
Yes.
And so these are the Elder Dragons. They're awesome. The one thing to know, if you're a new player and haven't run into legends that represent the same character before, is you can totally have the previous dragon from Fate Reforged and the new one on the battlefield at the same time.
What? How?
Because the legend rule looks just for names. So Dragon Lord Colgan is different from Colgan the Storm's Fury. So you can totally have both of them. And
that's
some
time travel fun times.
Time travel shenanigans.
Time travel.
And so be aware that you might be facing down two copies of the same dragon at some point, either limited or constructed.
Oh my gosh.
Oh shit.
That's kind
of
cool.
It'd be pretty terrible. Most of these just kill you outright for you existing.
Yeah, they kind of do.
Yeah, they've really pushed these dragons to make them very, very appealing.
Yeah, they said, I believe, that they wanted a format where some of the time it was basically, do you have this insane elder dragon, okay, you win.
Yes. They have succeeded at this, it looks like, because some of these dragons are actually crazy.
Are you an 8/8 flying trampler for 7? You win.
Did you also kill all of your opponent's creatures when you entered the battlefield?
You win.
And they meant Dragon Lord Silumgar gets to mention the word planeswalker on his card, which is sweet. When he enters the battlefield, gain control of target creature or planeswalker for as long as you control Dragon Lord Silumgar. One interesting thing with this is it's a duration. And so this goes in the stack, it targets a thing. If you destroy Silumgar in response, the duration doesn't start, so you don't briefly gain control of the creature or planeswalker.
Gotcha.
So they get to keep the thing.
Wow.
And There's all sorts. This set is so deep with neat cards with interesting lines of text. The first planeswalker with a block mechanic. So they are showing what happened to the cons in this alternate universe. And some of them became more powerful cards, but more plot-wise terrible, like Zergo Bellringer.
Yeah.
Like he definitely, like...
Downgrade.
Well, no, he's more powerful. Like, he's just a better guy.
He's better than when he was a 7/2 with haste and indestructible and got a counter. AYKM, Rob.
What does AYKM mean?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, okay.
Like, I predict that he's going to see, like, actual real constructed
play. No, I think he's constructed card.
Now he'll be a constructed card.
Yeah. Yeah,
although it is frustrating for people that he's a legendary creature.
I think that that's what lets them make him powerful.
Oh, I see.
So they're all legends. And so all of them, it's just a cycle of legendary creatures, right, that are the old cons. Zergo Bellstriker is a 2/2 for single red. He can't block creatures with power 2 or greater, but he's still a warrior. Coward is a supported creature type. Why isn't he an orc coward now?
Like, coward is a supported creature type?
Yeah, coward's a creature type. One of my favorite red cards is cowards can't block warriors.
Well, it makes sense.
He should be a coward.
He really should be a coward. Because
that's kind of cool.
But Zergo Bellstriker can't block creatures that would kill him, and he has dash of red and one. And so you get to play him as a 2/2 for single red, which is pretty good in red. And then later you get to dash him out as a 2-power attacker.
He's a Valley Dasher.
Yep. He's a Valley Dasher. Yep. And so he's a legendary creature orc warrior. And he's just, in constructed, in standard especially, he's going to be way more powerful than the previous Zergo. He's easy to cast. He attacks a bunch. And so they made a cycle of these, and all of the cons from the previous universe got legendary creatures except for Narset.
She's a BAMF.
Yes. She is now P-dubs. A Planeswalker. And so Sarkhan actually gets to hang out with his crush on other planes, which is going to be interesting.
Oh, he's so in love with her.
He likes her? I didn't know that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's...
He was so upset when Narset died.
That's one of the reasons he went back in time. Timeline. Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was just obsessed with dragons.
No, are you kidding? Well, at first he was, but then he started hanging out with Narset, and he was like, this chick is cool. And then she led him to where Eugene's body was, and then Zergo killed her, and Sarkhan was like, no! And then he went and healed Eugene, and then he came back to the present, and then he walked around, and for a little while, Tygon was like, Narset's dead. And Sarkhan was like, what? No! He doesn't know yet.
Are we going to have a Planeswalker wedding?
Yeah, it's going to be the block after the battle for Zendikar. It's going to be the Planeswalker wedding.
And the whole set is just based around, like, do you have the right cake? And, like, the cards are, like, cake cards and, like...
You have cakes, invitations, guests.
DJs. What a dumb idea.
It's going to be a really bizarre set.
There will be a legendary equipment ring.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, God. The Ring of Three Wishes will be a reprint.
There you go.
Seems anyway, like a terrible wedding ring.
I already predicted that that Huey, the set, which I think is now, was going to be the 80s band theme set.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I was incorrect about that.
That's true. But it's okay. Planeswalker wedding, 100%.
Yep. We're calling sure. it. Calling it right now.
Put money on this.
Yes. So, Narset Transcendent. She has 6 loyalty. She costs blue-white 2. And in my opinion, she's just Chandra the Firebrand in blue-white. Because her really eye-catching ability... So she's a +1. Look at the top card of your library. If it's a non-creature, non-land card, you may reveal it and put it into your hand. Pretty cool. Draws you cards.
Pretty sweet, yeah.
Her -2 is when you cast your next instant or sorcery spell from your hand this turn, it gains rebound. Which is... Chandra the Firebrand just double your next spell. And she does the same thing, but puts it on layaway. And for her -9 is you get an emblem with your opponents can't cast non-creature spells. Which, the thing with Planeswalker emblems is they're always going to look super ultra sweet. But she doesn't have any way to protect herself.
No.
So she goes from 6 to 7 and somebody just like attacks her with a dragon. Which means that the 9 is not likely, but it's neat.
I was excited for Sarkhan. I think he looks pretty sweet too.
Yeah, Sarkhan Unbroken.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a red.
He got
blue.
Way more colorful.
Yes, he added blue, which I don't understand.
Because he likes Narset.
Sure, but yep. like liking Narset's probably more red than blue, right?
It's just like when you know, like if you're dating someone who's Jewish and you want to get married, so you have to convert to Judaism to make their parents happy.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You can convert to Judaism.
Oh, and yeah, Judaism is definitely blue because that's the color of Hanukkah.
Yep, and Israel.
It's on their flag.
The country of Israel.
Okay.
Oh my God, Narset is Israeli.
We've solved it.
Okay.
Well, that makes this make a lot more sense then.
You're welcome, wizards.
So Sarkhan Unbroken is teamer colors. He's red, blue, green, red, blue, green, and 2 for a 4 loyalty planeswalker. +1, draw a card, then add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. -2, put a 4/4 red dragon creature token with flying out of the battlefield. And -8, search your library for any number of dragon creature cards and put them out of the battlefield, then shuffle your library.
I'm going to do that all the time.
Yeah. I'm going to make a standard deck that's 4 Sarkins and 4 Lightning Shriekers.
Can I have my other Sarkin Planeswalker in that deck as well?
You can have it in that deck, but you can't have it on the battlefield at the same time.
Oh, so they don't apply the legendary rule. Okay.
They have their own rule, the Planeswalker rule. They actually look at the Planeswalker subtype. And so he's Planeswalker Sarkin, which... Like the more that I learn about Sarkin, the more he confuses me. That like the Khans are the leaders, right? And he picked it. Vol was actually his given name, and then he decided that he wanted a new name, so he picked Sarkhan, which means Supreme Khan. He decided that his name was Super President.
He's Super President of Tarkir.
Which, by the way, is gonna be the name of my first kid.
Hey, Super President, clean your room. I don't need to. I'm the Super President.
What have I done? Kid vaguely Hispanic.
Why isn't your kid vaguely Hispanic?
Yeah, good point, Rob. Megan, answer this. How do you answer?
Okay, fine.
That's called getting nailed.
Really? I thought getting nailed was something else.
Okay, well, you've been wrong all these years.
Anyways, so I'm still wondering. I'm wondering if our current timeline is gonna stay real happy. Like all the dragons are in charge. Like what's gonna happen when Eugene wakes up?
He's gonna go over to Zendikar. Probably
he did wake up in Uncharted Realms, and Sarkin pulled him out, and he's like, "All right, I was keeping these dragons in check a little bit, and now they're not. Well, that's a thing.
Oh, I haven't read this Uncharted Realms yet. I actually read all of them.
Maybe I'm just thinking of Tormenting Voice, where Tormenting Voice, he's still has the voice of Bolas in his head.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now Eugene's got somebody's voice in his head.
Yeah. And there's all sorts of little callbacks. Like, there's Summit Yeti or Summit Prowler.
Summit Prowler, there's dragons.
Yeah, he's precisely the same card, just with dragons in the background.
I know, I love that.
So sweet.
Yeti don't care.
This set is really cool. I agree. And I think there's a lot of really fun, interesting, powerful cards to be played with.
There's also disappointing cards. Vial of Dragonfire.
Oh, yes.
This is inferior to a card from Homelands.
Whoa,
which everyone's been saying. What's the card from Homelands called again?
Aeliopile.
Yep, everyone's been...
Aeliopile. Yep. That card is a pile.
It really is. So Aeliopile is a 2 colorless artifact, 1 colorless tap and sacrifice it for 2 damage to target, creature, or player.
You get
an actual shock, a genuine shock. Vial of Dragonfire is 2 colorless for an artifact, 2 colorless tap and sacrifice.
What?
It deals 2 damage to target creature.
Why is this a card? It's horrible.
I don't know, because apparently that renowned weaponsmith, someone still is letting him work.
Yes. How does he find work in this town?
I would not pay him to make anything.
Like, no, me neither.
All he makes is cards that I don't like.
Excuse me, friend. You need just... It's just like... Do you know what? He's just wanted to be a weaponsmith so bad. And
that
like
people didn't want to say no to him.
Exactly. Like, he's a really nice guy. Like, he's so sweet. He's so nice to everybody. And he's like just like the most polite. And everybody likes him. So like no one was ever like, dude,
hey,
you
buddy,
suck at this.
You suck at your job.
You suck at this.
Yeah, you made a heart piercer bow, which doesn't actually kill anything. And you made a vial of dragon fire that like, you know,
heart piercer bow, more like fart piercer bow, because that's what it could kill.
Vial of dragon fire, more like vial of dragon farts.
Yep.
Yep. And it looks like his search is essentially just like incremental. I don't care that much about the search. I care about the tapping to play artifacts. That's actually pretty sweet. But when the rest of the card is so disappointing, like they do the teasing a future card name rarely. They've done it like
that's
twice.
That's why I thought it was going to be good.
You thought it was going to be good.
Yeah.
Like in this timeline, he actually became a good weaponsmith.
Yes. Like in the previous timeline, they only remember his crappy thing. And in this, they remember his Vial of Dragon Fire,
like,
which is awesome.
Yeah, that dude.
Yeah. So
anyway,
great disappointment.
Megan and I will be going to the midnight pre-release for this event.
Damn straight.
Because we haven't... Because what I'd say to Megan, because I forgot what pain feels like.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Oh boy, you guys. We'll record for you next episode. Listen for it. We'll do a segment where we're live at probably 3 a.m. and Megan's going to be like curled up in a ball in the corner.
Yep.
Don't want to miss that.
No, you never do. I'll be hiding underneath the table.
Well, I'll be spending all day Saturday playing. I play in the main event at the beginning of the day, and then two at a giant with my wife in the afternoon, and then, depending on how she feels, I sometimes play in the evening.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's so, a lot of magics.
It is a lot of magic.
But
all the magic.
It's totally worth it.
For sure.
Yes. I mean, that's...
100%.
I do not play in many non-pre-release events, so...
Rob, is that all you have to say about this set?
That's pretty much all I have to say. Like, my general rule is read the cards, follow them in order, because they all have a lot of words on them.
Yes.
And so, like, you get to look at all of these cards that do interesting things. Like, there's Living Lore, and, like, he's super awesome, and he, like gets some variable power and toughness, and then he casts a spell for free, but only if he survives combat. So you need to just look at and reason out the, like, whether or not stuff is going to happen, whether or not things are going to survive, whether or not things do, when you do things in a particular order, they behave a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could actually just run through almost half of this set, because there's a lot of things that are tucked in here.
Sweet.
So be kind to your judges on pre-release day, everybody.
And read your cards. Yeah. Read your cards carefully.
RTFC, yep. As they say.
And if you have questions, ask. Like, the judges of pre-release will happily explain stuff to you. And there's... I mean, that's what we're here for.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And also to look good in a suit.
I mean, every building needs one person looking good in a suit in it.
In my mind, all the judges at the pre-release are wearing tuxedos.
I would love it if there was like a black tie magic event.
I would attend.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
100%. I bet you we can talk Ian into hosting that at Mead Hall sometime.
Okay.
I mean, there's a magic cruise, so...
Exactly.
Which is happening right now as we speak.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we're in Minnesota. It's only 40 degrees. I don't feel bad about that at all.
No, not at all. I can see the ground, and it's the middle of March, so I'm counting my blessings.
True.
It's very true. Every time this winter I've traveled to somewhere, and I show up in, like, Memphis, and they go, this is the most horrible, worst weather, and I go... It is 37 degrees warmer here than it was back home before wind chill. And they go, what's wind chill? And I go, you are so glad that you don't know what wind chill is.
So true. Well, thank you so much for stopping by with us, Judge Rob. This was wonderful as always.
Yeah, thank you for enlightening our pre-release and Dragons experience.
I try.
I try. Cutest card.
Oh, snap. It's that segment that everybody's been waiting for. Now I said it, so it's double true.
Yay! You guys, first I have to say, this is the cutest set that Wizards has ever printed in my lifetime of playing Magic.
Maria, I feel like you've said that before.
I know, but now it is. Now it's true. It's going to keep being true if they keep printing cuter sets. You see what I'm saying?
What's the name of that phenomenon? Tweet at me if you remember the name of that phenomenon. Where things... Oh, come on. Where it's just like, over time, you know, it's just going to keep getting, like, the bar will just keep getting raised. Creep. Yes.
Thank you. Judge Rob, for the win. Cuteness creep.
I'm looking for cuteness creep.
Wizards is like, we've printed so many cute cards, we have to print cuter cards to keep up with the cuteness creep. Oh. Anyway, this decision was insanely hard.
I'm sure it was.
I'm sure you don't envy my position to make this choice. Not at all. People were very strongly in favor of one card they wanted me to pick, and I considered it, but I'm not swayed.
What was the card they wanted you to consider? Where was all the public pressure?
The public pressure
this
was on
awards season.
Was on Dragonlord Servant, for sure.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing those.
And
tweets.
I agree that is a cute card.
It's a cute little goblin.
But look, I feel like, much like Wizards was trying to force me to pick Mardu Scout last set as cutest card.
Yeah, and you were like, my hand will not be forced.
You cannot force me, Wizards, by saying, oh, look at me. I'm drawing this cute little goblin. See what Maria's going to... I know what their game is. Yeah. I know what your game is, Wizards.
Sure.
So I'm going to be my own man and pick the actual cutest card of the set. First of all, runners-up, Dragon Lord Servant. Sure, it's cute. I acknowledge
that. Yeah, very cute, very cute.
Silumgar, Dragon Lord Silumgar. Still cute.
Still cute.
He was the cutest card last set. Yep, he's still cute.
If there is any evidence of cuteness creep, it is that Dragon Lord Silumgar got cuter.
Yeah.
And was our last winner.
Yeah.
But did not win
this
time.
But he did not win. Yeah, I mean, good point.
He's so cute, he has a mummy around his neck.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know, adorable. I mean,
what's more adorable than that?
There's so many cute dragons. Almost every single dragon is cute in this set. Notably, this guy almost won, but it was just edged out. Arashan Sovereign.
I knew it before you said
really?
It.
Really?
I knew it. I was like, that one that's showing like his chubby little belly.
Yeah. He's so cute. Oh, he so is. But he was edged out, Megan, by this guy right down here. Swift Warkite.
Aw, he's so right up your alley.
Look at him.
Aww.
He's just coming in with his little mouth like, and then he's got his little thing that puffs out like that, like alien, not alien. what am I thinking of? Jurassic Park, the alien that poofs out his neck.
The dinosaur?
Yeah, did I say alien again?
the dinosaur in Jurassic Park?
Yes, and he goes... You know, in his neck.
I don't know which dinosaur
anyway,
that is.
But that's what looks like Swift Warkite is doing. But he be
well,
so
there
cute.
You go. He's real cute.
Oh, you guys, so great. All right, Megan, worst card.
Here we are at the segment no one waits for.
I wait for it, Megan.
The card that most makes us go, oh, what? Why?
Yeah.
One of our runner-ups is Profaner of the Dead.
Yeah, that's just a skull he's holding.
It's pretty gross. I mean, I think it would be better if it was a skull.
No,
but
you're
it's
right.
It's like a partially decayed face.
Yeah, there's still flesh on that.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. It is pretty up there in terms of grossness. And then our next runner-up, we always have something in the zombie category.
Yeah.
And Corpse Weft, which is a bunch of sewn together dead people pieces.
That's horrible.
It's pretty awful. I mean, it's pretty... Really pretty gross.
So gross.
Really super gross.
Sick.
But the winner, and I have to thank Maria for alerting me.
Yeah, I can't look at this card. It's
no.
Almost to the level of, what was the name of that card? It was blue and they're
Gainsay. Yeah.
Which I didn't even want to look at.
Yes.
This is similar level.
And I mean, this one harkens back to, I hate house centipedes. I hate them more than anything.
Yes,
they are the
you're
worst.
Correct.
They're the grossest. Mm-hmm. They're disgusting and terrible. And what is segmented Croteak if not a giant house centipede?
I'm terrified.
It is disgusting and horrible and it is terrible.
Oh, it's sick. And they had to point out that it's segmented. Like, don't remind me.
Don't remind me that its body is in parts.
That its body is a horrible abomination.
That's right. I don't need to know that.
Oh, God.
I'm kind of surprised the Bloodchin Rager didn't get a...
Bloodchin Rager.
But you know what? I have to say that I have never wanted to call out a word for being the most... What? What?
Yeah.
But Bloodchin made me want to do that.
Yes.
Bloodchin anything.
We're going to talk
frankly.
About it later.
You've never had those dreams where you're cutting your own tongue? Like
what?
What?
No, it's... Like you feel it. Like, Coiled Tin Viper had this problem where every time I read his flavor text was just... It just got me.
Oh, yeah. This guy does look like he's cutting his own tongue.
Yeah, that's true. The art is fairly horrible.
And I think the flavor text is implying that he is licking his blade clean.
What does it say?
Colligan blades rarely stay clean for long.
Sick.
Yeah, he's licking his blade clean with the tongue that he's cutting open with his blade.
It's pretty gross. It's.
I mean, Bloodchin Fanatic is another card that... That just looks like that horse is about to take off. It looks so tiny. It's like, I'm going to fly.
It's so cute. It's such a cute horse.
Yeah, it is. It's a pony.
It's a real cute little pony.
So if you agree or disagree with our picks, tweet at us at MTAcast and let us know your opinion, which, if they're not the same as our opinions, is incorrect, but we will read it.
Remember, if your opinion is not our opinion, it's wrong.
Euphemism of the week. Hey, Megan, remember when we used to do this segment?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What has happened to us?
I don't know. We grew up a little bit.
I just remember, like, as soon as I said Euphemism of the Week, I'm like, we never do this segment anymore.
I know. We used to do it all the time.
Anyway, I've done this for a few sets now where I'll just do, like, an insane rundown of all the euphemisms I found in the set. This is why we don't do it anymore, because we do it every single week. I mean, because we're doing 10 weeks in one go. Just kidding. It's more like 50. I found so many euphemisms, Megan.
Okay, Maria.
All right.
I'm ready.
This is the part of the podcast that gets a little adult.
A little. And the first part?
Also adult. I'm just going to do them fast because there's a lot of them. Get ready, everybody. Enduring victory. You can have multiple orgasms. Echoes of the kin tree. Phantom dick. That's when your dick gets cut off, but you still feel like it's there. Myth realized when you fuck a celebrity. Secure the waist is another name for a butt plug. Silk wrap is S&M done with silk. Illusory gains is when you take a placebo to make your dick bigger. Mirror mockery is when you masturbate into a car's rearview mirror and objects are larger than they appear. Tagum strike is when you get someone to blow their load in one stroke. Youthful scholar is male jailbait. Blood chin rager is an all-night eat-out fest when Aunt Flo's in town. Death wind is when a fart kills the moment. Foul tongue invocation is when you say the wrong name during sex. Foul tongue shriek is when you scream the wrong name during orgasm. Impact tremors when you break the bed. Magnetic chasm. Vag herpes. Seismic rupture when you orgasm so hard you tear your dick. Tail slash when the person you laid last night sends you an angry text. Assault formation when you have three or more wingmen. Circle of elders. Old person circle jerk. Explosive vegetation. Tons of pubes. Glade watcher. A gynecologist. Cunning breeze dancer. Cunnilingus on an airplane. Custodian of the trove. You pube waxer. Tapestry of the ages. List of all your past bangs.
Oh, wow.
You missed reduce in stature.
I did not miss it. It was just too obvious.
Wait, let me see the list. I just want to recall my favorite.
Sure.
Because you flew through them so quickly.
I really did. I mean,
let's see.
You can go back and listen to it in half speed if you want.
Mere mockery. Oh. I think mere mockery is probably, that was just pretty... That was pretty good.
Thank you. Hey, everybody, that's our show for this week. Have fun at the pre-releases this weekend. Megan, what clan are you going to go?
Oh, snap. I haven't even thought of this. Probably Silumgar.
Silumgar, pretty cute. Rob, where did you say you're going to land?
My personal preference would be a Tarka's Brood. Because...
Red-green.
Yeah, red-green. Yeah. Smash the things.
And I got to be, you know... good to my Rakdos pals and Dukalgan, because that's just my way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. The Colligan way.
Hey, Colligan man! Wait, but she's a lady. Damn it. Anyway. Oh, I made a motto for the Colligan clan. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Four wings good, two wings bad. It's an Animal Farm reference.
Yes. Wait, I made one for Dromoka.
Oh, yeah, you did.
What was it?
Make something, like, make it count.
Make yourself count.
Yeah.
Ers.
Make yourself count.
Ers.
Great.
What was it?
That's what it was, I think. Anyway, you guys. Hey, check out our Patreon if you haven't. Patreon.com/MTAcast. We recently reached a level where we're doing draft videos every single week, which you can find on our YouTube channel. They're also at our website, magicallyamateuring.com. So if you get bored during lunch hour, watch me massacre a draft. It'll be real fun.
sometime soon, coming to a computer near you, you can watch me bungle an 8-4.
It's going to be great. Bungle. Great word. So just support us if this show is of value to you for as little as $1 an episode, it would mean a lot to us. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, mtgcast.com, themeatery.org, as well as magicallyamateuring.com. On Twitter, we are at MTAcast. Join the party. We tweet out lots of jokes, which might make you laugh somewhere in your body, perhaps only in your feet, but sometimes your feet need to laugh too, you guys.
God, quit making my feet laugh.
You know, some Japanese websites are all about feet laughing. Anyway.
Yeah, feet laughing.
That's it for us. Online, I'm horny_unicorny. Megan's
ice cream socialist.
See you later. Thanks again to Judge Rob.
You're welcome.
If anybody has any questions, where can they find you?
They could send me an email. robert@gmail.com is the email that I use for judging.
Wonderful. Good night, everybody. Have fun at your pre-release. Listen next week for us. We'll be live from the pre-release. And Megan will be probably incoherent, as will I. Ciao.